In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I begin this sermon today with a quote from Jill Jackson Miller. She says, "When I attempted suicide in 1944 and I didn't succeed," she said, "I knew for the first time unconditional love, which God is. You are totally loved, totally accepted, just the way you are. In that moment, I was not allowed to die, and something happened to me, which is very difficult to explain. I had an eternal moment of truth in which I knew I was loved, and I knew I was here for a purpose." Now, Jill went on from this moment, and 11 years later, she wrote a song. I was reminded of this song this past week as I officiated a funeral for a friend of mine down in Sarasota. And in the midst of that funeral, in the hymns, was the hymn, what has now become a hymn, which was really a camp song that Jill and her second husband wrote 11 years after, in 1955, called "Let There Be Peace on Earth." You may be familiar with it.
Yeah.
Some of you may not be familiar with it. All of us probably should be. And I can think about this and say, well, what does that really have to do with anything today? And I thought, to be very honest, on Tuesday afternoon, I'm thinking, don't know that I would have chosen it for my funeral. And it felt a little strange going into it, but as it was sung, it suddenly made more sense in the understanding of the man who we were celebrating. And then as I picked up the scripture for this week, I find chapter 11 and the prophet Isaiah. Now, I like to have my little helpers in my Bible, so the understanding and the subtitle for chapter 11, if you don't have it in this particular translation, "The Peaceful Kingdom." And this peaceful kingdom, as we hear, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." See, coming out of the shoot of Jesse comes the house of David. From the house of David comes Messiah, Jesus. "He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth." We can understand that as the word of God. "And with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins." Now, verses 6 through 9. He begins to describe a world that seems impossible. "The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Peace on earth. We even have some symbols of that in our window in the chapel. This understanding of the fullness of what God desires. See, and in the midst of her most broken moment, in her life had reached such a place, Jill sat down and she decided she could no longer go on. Her childhood was terrible, marriage that went sideways, everything was falling apart, and she felt she had no hope. In the midst of no hope, she attempted to take her own life. But as she stated in her quote, "For whatever," she was not allowed to die. And in the midst of that, she discovered what she described an eternal moment of truth. And that eternal moment of truth is what developed within her that created the rest of her life. First, the writing of this song with her husband to present to children at camp, young people, that it might catch on, and it did. And here it is, 1955, that song was written for camp. And you can find it in hymnals within the church today because it speaks so clearly to what God desires. See, God is speaking through Isaiah this morning, and he's saying, this is what I want. This is what I created all of creation to be. This is God's plan. Peace. And a song. Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. Oh. Such simple but clear words, brothers and sisters. We can look at what's happening in the world around us. We can decide what's going this way or that way in our own lives. And we can choose that as our truth, or we can claim this overarching truth of God, that the desire for God is that we be at peace. I believe Jill was able to come to this clarity because she found peace with God, which brought peace within herself, which put her in a position to carry the message to the world, a message that's been prophesied since all of time, a message that is clear in the very stories of creation, but that sin slipped in, that brokenness came in, and it made it difficult, amen? And now we live in a world that will celebrate every broken thing it can find. It will turn it into a major story. And I think sometimes when we constantly are bombarded by this, we forget. God has a different plan than what we see represented on an almost daily basis. Amen? Peace. And Jill got it right. Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. We live in a world that says, I want peace on earth. You make it happen for me. As they say in some programs I've been around for a few years, how's that working out for you? It doesn't work, because that's not how it works. See, church, it's us. See, we know the truth of the words of God through Isaiah. We know that to be exactly God's desire. Sometimes I think we forget where it begins. See, we can choose at every level the worst that's available. We can do it within ourselves. We can believe that we are not useful. We can believe that we are not worthy. We can look at our personal life and the things that are happening, and we can believe ourselves to be a victim of a broken, fallen world, which may exactly be true. We may be a victim of other broken people within the world. We could claim that as our identity. We could claim it within our relationships. We can claim it as a society. We can do that if we want. Or we could claim the promises of God. And as those who proclaim to understand and know, which has come out of the shoot of Jesse, out of the house of David, this Messiah, Jesus, we could believe that the very word of God spoken through him to us and through the prophets is true. And in the midst of it, in the midst of every one of those moments, we could say, I'm not going to lie, part of me is really drawn to this broken piece. We've actually been trained to it, by the way. We go looking for it. You don't believe it? Wait till somebody has an accident on the interstate on the other side, and you're in the traffic jam on the side where the accident isn't. Why? Why? Yeah, everybody wants to see what happened. We are drawn to the tragic. We could choose the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but that draws me. But I struggle like everybody else. Very often people will ask me, how's it going? And what do I say? Live a dream. Anybody ever heard me say that? Here's what you need to know. I am trying to live the dream. Sometimes you'll know if I say it. How's it going? Living a dream. And you're going, okay. Because I am. Sometimes I'm like, live a dream. They're like, oh. Often people will say, I don't get it. And I said, it's a choice. Sometimes I say, you just have to have a low bar. But the reality is the choice. So I'm a salesman, in case you were unaware of that. That's where I spent the first part of my life. Now I'm in marketing. We all know that story. I don't close the deal. That's between you and Jesus. But let me tell you about this product that comes from the shoot of Jesse. This Messiah that is yours. This God that Jill came to know, that totally loves you and accepts you, that strengthens you so that you can proclaim the glory of God, so that we can look at a world that's fallen, broken, and in total chaos and say, well, this is not what God wants. I can either feed what the world is doing, or I can stand in opposition to it and I can say, I'm living the dream. I am choosing to follow God. When our own lives are falling apart, when we're struggling on our own, you know, when you get the diagnosis and you don't know what's next. Now, I'm a salesman. Got to get your point across in this many words. So in the midst of the adversity, you say, Brian, how are you doing? I'm living the dream. Somebody might go a little bit further. How do you do that in the unknown? And I got to be honest with you, and this is true, although it doesn't sound like it sometimes when people hear me say it. The absolute worst thing that's going to happen to me today is I might find myself standing before my Lord. I'm okay with that. See, because that peace had to begin with me. Peace with my God. Peace with myself. Which allows me to stand in the middle of a world that says otherwise, and I can say no. The world doesn't get to decide what God wants. Amen? Amen? So here we are in the midst of Advent, this in-between place where we are remembering the birth of the Prince of Peace, this Jesus. And I hear people say sometimes, and I even wrote it in my notes, I said, that's wrong. I said, we're awaiting the birth of Jesus. I said, no, we're remembering it. He's already been born. When he was born, he initiated this in-between space. He initiated the kingdom of God by coming into creation. He will consummate it when he comes again. And with that, we'll bring the kingdom of God, a new heaven and a new earth, where everything will be as prophesied within Isaiah today. All that will be true. The fullness of it, the pain, the sorrow will be no more. See, because that's what God desires. In the midst of it, we still have our free will, which we will always have as he promised, like everything else. So we live in this in-between place. We can choose to follow the world, or we can choose the promises of God. And I know it's not as easy as that sounds. but I bet it's not as hard as you think. How many times are we beaten down and afraid to move and do the things that we know are best for us because the person who's most likely to talk us out of what is good is ourselves. I know what I'm supposed to eat to be healthy. But guaranteed somebody's going to go, hey, you want a chocolate chip cookie? And I'm going to be like, yes, I do. I'll just have one. Or like a bookkeeper I had one time at our store, lovely British lady. Somebody brought donuts. She's like, only want half. And by the end of the day, there's like 8 half donuts in the box. Daisy. It's choices, right? Here's the other thing I know. When I'm making the right choices, when I'm choosing to understand the fullness of God, when I'm choosing to understand that when I am weak, He is strong, when I choose to fall on His grace and mercy, it becomes as habitual as sitting in victimhood and sitting in brokenness and sitting in sin and sitting in sorrow. It becomes just as easy to walk in the glory of God as it is to sit and deny His presence. We practice our faith. Brothers and sisters, we practice our faith. Paul, speaking to the church in verse 15, the church in Rome, we were looking at verses 4 and forward. I'm going to take you to verse 1, chapter 15. We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. Could you think of anything more opposite than what the world is proclaiming today? Put my neighbor before me? For his good. For building up the neighbor? So he says, why would we do that? Paul says, for Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Whatever the world has, it's put it on Jesus already. So it's not for you to pick up. If the world's telling you this or that or the other thing and it's trying to tear you down, your strength is in the Lord. And you just simply reclaim it by His grace and His mercy, His forgiveness. All that He's done, we remember it and we hold to that. And we can just look at the world and say, you got it wrong. But let me tell you the truth. Because we'll have the strength to do that when we're at peace with ourselves and at peace with God. You see, Jill was broken. She was damaged. She was a victim. She was all of these things. So much so that she gave up on her very own being. And for whatever reason, as she stated, she was not allowed to die. And when she came that close to the depth of her brokenness, she found God. And when she found God, she found purpose. She spent the rest of her life proclaiming the concept of world peace, prophesied through Isaiah. Would she have claimed it through Isaiah? I don't know. But she got the message. Paul's saying, there's a better way. For whatever was written in former days, verse 4, was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And he says to the church, may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. The in-between time, an instruction in how to live. So today, church, I wonder, will we use this incredible truth of God? Will we choose to pursue the fullness of his kingdom in this in-between time? Will we choose to pursue his peace that passes all understanding within ourselves, within the world, within our families, within our faith communities? Will we choose it? Will we live it? Could we be a witness to God's truth? And in a chaotic world, choose to build up our neighbor to the glory of God. Will we choose to hear Jill's words? Let there be peace on earth.